morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, coming up today, we'll open up the phone lines for most of the show and talk about the ongoing dispute over the outcome of the election, where President Trump is challenging what appears to be the outcome. We'll take your phone calls. First, a little bit of news. We heard there on the NPR News about Tropical Storm Ada. It's now stalled just to the north of the Yucatan Channel this morning. Tropical storm is barely moving at all. It has top sustained winds of 50 miles an hour. Reason why we're watching this is that it could move north toward the northern Gulf Coast by the weekend. We're not quite sure, but Tampa Bay is in the possible cone of this record-breaking tropical storm. The Florida Department of Health in Hillsborough County today advised residents there's been an increase in mosquito-borne disease activity in areas of Hillsborough County. A human case of West Nile virus has been confirmed, and there's heightened concern that additional residents may become ill. The Department of Health in Hillsborough County reminds residents and visitors to avoid being bitten by mosquitoes and to take basic precautions to limit exposure. We're going to open up the phone lines in a little bit and talk about these issues. And as we continue, we'll be talking about the elections. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We heard in the NPR News there a moment ago that Joe Biden will give a speech about the Affordable Care Act. As the Affordable Care Act challenge goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, the High Court will hear arguments on its merits today. 18 Republican-led states, including Florida, will be making the case at the U.S. Supreme Court today to overturn the Affordable Care Act. The law fined people who didn't get insured until 2017, and that's when Congress set the penalty to zero, but the individual mandate language remained. Now the Supreme Court justices will decide if that mandate is constitutional, whether to just cut that part or whether to strike down the whole law. Cynthia Cox is an ACA expert at the Kaiser Family Foundation.
As Biden sought to unify.
Okay, it looks like we don't have that soundbite, but we were going to hear about the implications for Florida if the ACA was struck down. Now, a week after the election, the Trump administration is trying to hold on to power. President Trump has blocked government officials from cooperating with President-elect Joe Biden's team. Attorney General William Barr has authorized the Justice Department to probe allegations of voter fraud, although there is no evidence of widespread problems with the election that occurred last Tuesday. Let's listen to a report from the Associated Press.
As Biden sought to unify the nation's response to the coronavirus pandemic,
this election is over.
The president continued refusing to concede the race, mounting legal challenges, and getting backing from the man many in the GOP see as the one who may eventually need to nudge him out the door, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations of irregularities.
In the meantime, White House officials and Trump political appointees told career government staffers they are not to start acting on transition planning to Biden until the General Services Administration approves it, keeping Biden from access to federal agencies. Sagar Magani, Washington.
All right, so that's pretty much going to be the big topic today. So if you want to comment about it, you can email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org, or you can call us at 813-239-9663. Barbara Fling is our phone producer today. Yesterday, President Trump's campaign filed a lawsuit in Pennsylvania federal court seeking to block state officials there from certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory in Pennsylvania. Lawsuit brought by the campaign and two registered voters alleges that Pennsylvania's mail-in voting system lacked all the hallmarks of transparency and verifiability that were present for in-person voters. President-elect Biden leads in Pennsylvania by 45,000 votes. The Trump campaign and Republicans have brought numerous lawsuits since Election Day over alleged election irregularities, but judges have already thrown out lawsuits, those cases in Georgia and Michigan. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. There's an internal problem in the Republican Party in Georgia. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger yesterday resisted calls from Republican U.S. Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue to resign as both of their Senate races appear to be headed for a January runoff. Raffensperger is also a Republican, and he said in a statement, "Let me start by saying that this is not going to happen. The voters of Georgia hired me, and the voters will be the one to fire me," he said. "As Secretary of State, I continue to fight every day to ensure fair elections in Georgia." Here's Gabriel Sterling, who was appointed by Raffensperger in Georgia to oversee the elections in that state. And this is what he said about the calls for Raffensperger to resign and claims that there are problems in Florida's voting system.
As Biden sought to unify the nation's response to the coronavirus pandemic.
All right, we heard that already. We're going to hear what an aide to the Secretary of State in Georgia, who is a Republican, said about the election controversy in Georgia.
As we see people who are genuinely upset with the outcomes, people who are genuinely thrilled with the outcomes, the facts are the facts, regardless of outcomes. And that's one of the things we're focusing on here is getting our count accurate and right, giving accurate information so that at the end of the day, everybody, regardless of whose side won and whose side lost, understands that in Georgia, we had an actual accurate outcome. We are going to find that people did illegally vote. That's going to happen. There are going to be double voters. There are going to be people who did not have the qualifications of a registered voter to vote in this state. That will be found. Is it 10,353? Unlikely.
It's Gabriel Sterling, who was appointed by the Republican Secretary of State in Georgia to oversee the elections there, saying that he doesn't think that the deficit that President Trump has in Georgia will be overcome. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Yesterday on CNN in the morning, they ran a piece that was done by reporter Donnie O'Sullivan, and he went to a protest called Stop the Steal. This took place in Pennsylvania. And he asked protesters there, these are protesters who are in favor of President Trump, why they think the vote was unfair or stolen in Pennsylvania. And these are the answers he got as he talked to the pro-Trump supporters.
It's legal for them to count votes in Pennsylvania 2 days after the election on November 3rd?
Yes.
You're wrong. Go. I don't even want to talk to you.
I believe that Donald Trump won the election. I believe that they tried to steal the election.
Stop the Steal, a movement of Trump supporters that gained hundreds of thousands of followers online in the hours after the election, has inspired protests across the country.
The ballots that you said you saw are lying around the place or in trash cans or whatever. Where are you hearing that from?
The videos are going viral everywhere. I've seen them on TikTok. I've seen them on Facebook. I've seen them on Fox News. I've seen them on the local news around my area.
I've seen too much pieces of different evidence so far that shows that at this point I would be okay with a revote.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have video footage of people taking bags of ballots and showing that they are for Donald Trump and lighting them on fire.
I helped write a fact check on CNN on that particular video. The election officials said that video has been going around for a few days. They are printout ballots. They're not real ballots.
You use the information of the election officials.
Somebody like me comes along, tries to research it, tries to fact check it, and then I fact check it. You'll come back and say, well, the election officials would say that.
But wouldn't they, though? That's the thing, though. Question everything, right?
You are not going to steal this election from us.
The video actually showed sample ballots, not real ballots. The video's assertion is false, but even the president's son tweeted it to his millions of followers. Election officials in Virginia, where the sample ballots were from, told CNN they had spent days trying to correct the online misinformation.
When we went to bed on election night, when they told us they stopped counting, we woke up and there was a vertical spike right for Biden 130,000 votes approximately. That's when I knew there was a problem.
Now, as my buddy Steve Bannon says, if you're going to lie, be believable about it. Because you do not have 138,000 votes come in and 135,000 of them come in for Biden.
This is what I think you guys might have been talking about on election night, Michigan, 138,000. This was from a website called Decision Desk HQ. They came out and they said, we messed up. There was an error in how votes came back and were reported. Yeah. And that's why there was this spike in the map.
Yeah.
But, you know, the election officials in Michigan then all confirmed to say, yes, there was this error. They are not real ballots. Those ballots never existed.
President Trump himself even shared a post about the Michigan error. Twitter labeled his post as misinformation.
Are you concerned that just as how people on the left can fall for misinformation, that maybe sometimes you...
Oh, I'm sure, yes. I'm very thorough with the information I look at. I have my opinions, obviously, but I'm not just going to go around retweeting blatantly false information or things that I believe that are just... It's just, I look at things that are suspicious.
Some people at the protest told us the delays in news outlets projecting a winner contributed to their belief that Biden stole the election.
Put America first, or else it's going to be America last. Stand together.
You don't think there's any way Trump could have lost?
No.
Really?
Yes. How do you go from almost losing 200,000 in 5 hours, you're down to 30,000 votes away from winning?
A lot of Democrats voted in the mail, they voted absentee, they voted before election day. And in a lot of states, those election day votes got counted first. That's why Trump had that early lead. And then once those other votes started getting counted, that is how Biden caught up. And
so where are all the Trump ballots that were mailed in? Well, why are we finding them laying around in different places?
But Trump was telling everybody not to mail it in, right? That's why there's so much more mail-in Democratic votes, no?
No.
Pennsylvania voters who believe the election was stolen, talking with CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan, they were confronted with evidence that the election was not stolen by O'Sullivan, the reporter, but still they refused to believe him. You can see the entire exchange at CNN.com. So that was just 2 days ago in Pennsylvania at a Stop the Steal rally. Democratic U.S. Senator Chris Coons of Delaware tells the BBC today that President Trump and his allies need to provide proof that there was widespread election fraud. This is what Senator Coons said this morning on the BBC.
I think you will see some changes in position this coming week. I've spoken to a dozen Republican colleagues over the weekend. Many of them are taking the position that former Governor Christie did yesterday on television, saying to the president, if you have evidence of voter fraud, if there is any basis, in fact, for these legal challenges, bring it forward promptly. Otherwise, we are going to begin supporting this transition. As of now, few of them have said that publicly, but I expect this is the week that will turn.
You've written about praying for the president. That was criticized by some on the left. What did you actually mean by that?
Well, as a person of faith, we are called to pray for our enemies. We are called to pray for those who persecute us, who abuse us, who challenge us. That is a scriptural directive that many know is sort of a fundamental tenet of the Christian faith, but they seem to be surprised when I actually did it. The reality is, if we are to find our way forward, we have to listen to President-elect Biden's admonition that those who are our political opponents are not our enemies. Frankly, I could not have stronger or clearer differences in policy and values and priorities than I do with President Trump. But that doesn't mean that I can't and won't also pray for him. Praying for our enemies is a deep tradition in American politics, something that late Congressman John Lewis called all of us to do, to be reflective, contemplative, and to engage in love with those whose values and actions we deeply reject.
Democratic U.S. Senator Chris Coons this morning on the BBC. Well, what do you think about the election outcome so far and the president's refusal to accept what most news organizations and independent fact-checkers have said is a Biden win? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Sharon in St. Petersburg. Sharon, what do you think about what's going on?
Oh, my gosh, Rob. I'm really good morning. I'm really disappointed. I didn't think the Republicans would behave as badly as they have. And it just shows me how just despicable they are. And I used to respect Republicans because I knew a few Republican congresspeople, and I thought they were decent human beings. But these people, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, they are horrible. They are tearing our democracy apart, and they will do it for their benefit. And I have no doubt about that any longer. I'm done with him. I mean, I've spent years listening to them and trying to figure out what their, you know, main game is. But that all they want to do is have power, and they're just, I have no respect for them any longer. Okay. And it disappoints me. It disappoints me very much.
Sharon, thanks a lot.
I'm an old woman, you know, but I can't believe the way that they have taken this.
All right, Sharon, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call, and thanks for getting the program started. 813-239-9663. Jackson Palm Harbor, he writes, it looks like Citizen Trump will have to answer for all his misdeeds that he was able to avoid while he was in office. Let's see how all his devout followers will see up front when he has to answer in courts of law when the trials come up. They will then see who they voted for. He will be lucky if he stays out of jail. That's a Jack's email. Tom writes this, Democrats are not organized enough to steal an election. If they were organized, wouldn't they have gotten rid of Mitch McConnell, writes Tom, who's out there in cyberspace in Tampa. Michael writes this, these Trump people are making my head hurt. They have an insanity that knows no cure, as far as I can tell, writes Michael. David writes this regarding the Trump supporters that we heard a moment ago. David writes, these Trumpsters are delusional. They really believe Trump, the ultimate orange cult leader and con man. I look forward to Trump being escorted out of the White House. That's David's opinion. Jeff writes, if Democrats have stolen votes for the presidency, they might as well have stolen some votes for the House and the Senate as well. And they did not, writes Jeff. Jeff, thanks a lot. Yeah, if the Democrats wanted to steal an election, they forgot to steal the U.S. Senate, right? Mike in St. Pete writes, the Trump cult supporters will believe anything he wants to lie about. They have no ability to see the truth and think for themselves. That's Mike in St. Pete. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, thanks, Rob. I think that these Republicans, the Trump and all the ones in the government, they have just turned into fascists. You can't even call them Republicans anymore. And their supporters, you almost have to feel sorry for them. They're so far out there. Let's just say Trump and his gang, Barr and Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz and all of his support there, they are the real fascists. They know exactly what they're doing. And the supporters, they're doing this out of a patriotism and a love of country, but actually they're just throwing it away on these fascists. They are, and if something's got to be done to make these people realize this. Otherwise, if they lose that support of the ordinary people, maybe things will change, and the ordinary people that support them will see them for what they are. But something's got to be done to make them see that. Okay, I hope I made my point. Thank you.
All right, Fran, thanks a lot. Kevin writes this. He says, Trump supporters hold signs saying tyranny, and they're right, the tyranny of the majority, and it's called democracy, writes Kevin. And then Kay writes this. Let's see if I can bring this up correctly. Trump had this vote fraud scandal all figured out. He laid out the groundwork early. The disinformation is rampant, and it's coming from the top. I went off social media to not be part of the circus. Do your homework. I am imploring those who are wondering, and to those that voted for the most fraudulent president we've ever had, the first blatantly pathological liar we've ever had, I blame you for the state we're in right now, writes Kay. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's open up another line. The number to call, 813-239-9663. And we're talking about the election and the uncertainty over what's going on right now. The Republicans are challenging the outcome of the election, even though it's pretty clear that President-elect Biden is way ahead in many states. Let's go to Izzy in Washington, D.C. Hi, Izzy. Thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I'm a fan of a mixture, Eckhart Tolle, that some of you are familiar with, and B.F. Skinner, some of you are familiar with. So I'm a determinist. I don't know, Marx was a sort of a determinist, historical determinist, and I think a little bit about Jim Jones. You know, how did those people all commit suicide? And, you know, this is like Jim Jones on steroids or times a few thousand. And how does it happen? I think somebody mentioned, maybe on your program, Psychology Today, you know, drew a profile of the Trump supporters and why they are the way they are. Since I used to teach psychology, you know, my deterministic outlook was that if you had the biological makeup, the conditioning history, and the stimuli in the immediate situation of these Trumpsters, you would do exactly as they're doing. So not to judge them, it's just it's a matter of cultural engineering, and we need to change. And we are, some of us, you know, are self-aware, had the good fortune to be born into a household that was, you know, we can use the word sane and rational. And so we're in a race, and part of the problem is ego and the way our egos have been molded and developed, you know, by our childhood experiences and the media and the, you know, peer groups that we hung out with. So what do we do? The question is, what do we do? Well, we listen to WMNF and we provoke our thinking. And I'm wondering what you think, Rob, about just what I spewed out real fast here.
Well, I think you're onto something. I think for me, the bigger question is, where do people get their information from, and are they hearing from a lot of different sides? For instance, we played we played 5 minutes of Trump supporters explaining why they don't believe the outcome.
Right.
And I don't, you know, if I was watching Fox News today or tonight, or if I was listening to Rush Limbaugh today or tonight, I would not hear 5 minutes of the other side. So I think part of it is, if you're just eating, let's say, white bread, and I've got nothing against white bread, but if you're just eating white bread all the time,
right?
Yeah, you're not getting a healthy diet, and you have to get information from a lot of sources, and that's the beauty of, I think, listening to MNF, is that we expand, we add people who are grassroots activists, environmentalists, civil rights activists, and we hear from the mainstream too. And then we let people make up their own minds. I'm not here, and none of the hosts here at MNF are telling you what to think. We try to lay back and just let people decide for themselves. But that ultimately, I think, that empowers people when people make up their own minds without the host telling you what to think. When you watch Hannity, he tells you what to think. When you listen to Limbaugh or Mark Levin, they tell you what to think. And that's not what happens here. But unfortunately, I think a lot of people like to be told what to think.
Yeah, well, if ego is part of the problem, and many people are unconscious of their own ego, and if we raise our consciousness evolution, we're in a race with disaster, of course. You know, and I like Cornel West when he said, I will hold my nose and vote for Biden, but I will not endorse him. So I think we need to pay attention more to Cornel West and his point of view. And are you a fan of Cornel West?
Oh, yeah. I am.
If we just followed him, and I would say B.F. Skinner, most people don't know who he was, but B.F. Skinner had something called behavioral technology. And if we just culturally engineered ourselves in the direction of, you know, MLK and Cornel West, you know, they said that they had a vision of a sane and rational way of being in the world. And if we just followed those folks and their vision,
I think we'd be much better off, don't you?
Yeah, Izzy, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Okay. All right, great comments. Thank you. Brad in St. Pete writes, do you know if Joe Biden has an intention to lower Medicare eligibility down to 60 and if Biden plans to re-implement the penalty for not carrying health insurance? I've looked online and can't seem to find those answers, but remember hearing both in recent past. That's Brad in St. Pete. I don't know what President-elect Biden plans to do about Medicare eligibility. I think it all depends on what bills are brought up in Congress. And whether or not he's going to implement the penalty for not carrying health insurance, again, I think we'd have to look to Congress to see if that's going to happen, because that's where those changes would be made. I don't know what his intent is, but, you know, let's hope we have a vigorous and strong debate about health care. You know, if I were President Biden, what I would do is I would have a series of national debates about health care. And I would find the smartest people on all sides. And I'd ask that the networks carry the debates. Should there be single payer? Should there be a public option? Should it be entirely privatized, as some people want? And what are the pros and cons? And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hey, Rob. The previous caller who mentioned Skinner and the Jim Jones cult was anticipating kind of what I want to say, and it's hard to say it on a radio call. But I think what we need in the United States, regardless of how this election turns out, is like a truth and reconciliation commission, a nationwide confession, discussion, facilitated transactional healing process. And it could be done on by the corporate news networks in a town hall setting. It can be done online, because it's not good enough. It's not good for us progressives and liberals to come on here and say how much we hate the Trump supporters and how stupid they are and how brainwashed they are and how they're all wrong and we're right, because they say the same things about us. But yet, just like in the Civil War, many of us have lost longtime friends and family members in disagreements about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is like to us now what slavery was during the 1800s. He's the divider. We have to come together and say to each other, why have we gotten to the point where we're brandishing weapons at each other, hating each other, excommunicating families and friends over Trump and the GOP? And then also we have to ask the Trump supporters during this reconciliation and discussion, why exactly are you attracted to a man who you would probably not want in your personal life, in your business life, and especially not around your wife and daughters? The Trump supporters have to look at themselves and find out why they're attracted to a strong man with a terrible ego and a tendency towards viciousness and profanity and meanness and cruelty and vindictiveness. I don't think any of us, when we were children, were taught that those were good things for a role model. And yet, half the country is attracted to a man who is the opposite of a good role model. We have to have a discussion with love and forgiveness and get past all this insane hate and division, or else it doesn't matter if Biden's president or not. The American people will be in a form of soft civil war with each other.
All right, Gary, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Patrick writes this, Rob can't say it because he's bound by journalistic etiquette, and that's the proper way for him to roll. I will. The repugnant party is utterly full of spit, completely detestable, near totally unfair and disingenuous. It's been this way since Ronnie Reagan, at least, if not longer, writes Patrick. Well, I want to add a few more items to this conversation. President Donald Trump has been talking to his allies about running again in 2024 for president in a rematch against President-elect Joe Biden. This is according to Axios. Trump is already talking to his advisors about it, indicating that he understands that he's lost the 2020 election. The impact of a Trump 2024 race would also freeze any other Republican candidates with hopes to mount their own 2024 campaign against Biden. It would also make fundraising for the Republican Party difficult if a former president is hovering, or rather hoovering up all the GOP cash. So I'm quoting from Axios there, so you can look that up and see for yourself that President Trump is exploring the idea of running for president again in 4 years. The president and his aides have set up a hotline to find voter fraud in the country. And the number, if you want to call in, if you see voter fraud, you can call this number, 1-800-895-4152. That's 1-800-895-4152. If you see any voter fraud or you have examples of seeing voter fraud, you can call that number and report it. Well, some people who were kind of smart, Alex, called that number. And here we're going to listen in on some of the calls that went to the 800 number where you can report voter fraud. This is what it sounded like as people were calling in to the Trump 800 number.
To report incidents of voter fraud.
Okay, yeah, I saw what I believe is a voter fraud situation.
Okay, please describe it for me.
So I saw a man. He walked into this building, and he was wearing black. He had a black hat, black mask, a striped shirt, and a red tie. And I believe there were hamburgers in his bag, and he was saying rubble, rubble as he was exiting the building. Like a burglar. You know, I think he's probably Antifa. Can I speak to Rudy Giuliani?
Calling to report some election interference?
All right, what city are
you? I'm in Arizona.
You're in Arizona? All right, can you describe the incident?
Yeah, so there's an obese turtle that has rolled over onto its back and is...
Trump National War Room.
Yeah, I'd like to report an incident of voter fraud.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I committed some voter fraud. I'm very proud of it, and I'd like to tell Mr. Rudy Giuliani about it.
Great. Awesome.
My name is Stan Pines, P-I-N-E-E-S. You got that down?
Yes.
So, you know, I went in there, and I had a big old sack. And I just started just taking ballots out of the box. And I didn't even try to hide it. I waved to the crowd. I blew them kisses. And, you know, I think I'm kind of a local hero. And I'd like Rudy to give me a medal or something. She hung up on me.
All right. Those are some prank calls to President Trump's voter fraud hotline. But if you see voter fraud, you can call that line. It's 800-895-4152. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi. I wanted to say, you know, I've been very skeptical of voting machines. You know, I was one of these people back in, I think, 2004, watched it flip my vote, and I had to change it. And you see videos of, you know, people testifying that you can write that code that makes it very easy to change the vote, and you can't tell it's been changed. And I'm seeing some people on the right kind of hint that maybe that went on because the voting by mail thing isn't really working out for them. But I really wanted to say that to me the biggest conspiracy with voter fraud that I don't see a lot of people talking about is the fraud that the president himself did. I mean, I don't think any president has had the knowledge he's had to know that due to the pandemic and the way he split it and made it political, that his voters were going to vote with one method and the opposing voters are going to vote the other way. And then with that other method, he hires DeJoy, who has no experience, just got a $5 million contract to his former company, which he has millions of dollars of stock in now, still. He makes this change, blows it down when he's testifying. They say, or he says with a smirk, I don't know who made this decision. And they slow down the mail, and then everyone acts like, why would they still be counting? Well, you didn't prepare for millions more votes to be coming through. And, you know, you're like, well, all my votes came through electronically, so now I want to shut all those other votes off and say they're unfair and illegal. And I think it's unbelievable more people aren't talking about that. I mean, talk about conspiracy. He did it all right out in the open. You know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Well, I think we need a new Voting Rights Act. The Supreme Court did away with the first Voting Rights Act, and I think we need to guarantee that everybody's vote counts. And there should be transparency when it comes to the code that we use to count the paper ballots in computers. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that needs to be done, and I agree. And I think this may be – there may be I think Democrats are pushing for this, but I think there may be some Republicans that want a guarantee that everybody's vote counts and that we have a fair voting system. So there may be a few Republicans that could be peeled off. David, thanks a lot.
I hope so, because, I mean, it's very apparent. I mean, can you imagine Nixon or Obama? I mean, if people don't believe this who voted for Trump, think about if Obama knew the majority of his votes were going to be done a certain way and then tried to slow that down or prevent it and stop at the day of the election. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. I mean, that's far more voter tampering than some little guy throwing stuff in the garbage or...
didn't happen. I mean, those videos are all unproven. They're staged videos. All right. David, thanks a lot. Great. Those are good points. And let's hope that there's a really good debate about voting rights in this country, because we need a new Voting Rights Act. Let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Doug, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. You are a public affairs guy. Saturday, you proved you were a DJ. Today, you showed your comedy side of things.
Okay, all right. So what would you like to say about the election?
Well, what I would like to say is I think the Democrats really need to stand up now. Okay, right? I think we won. But you got to do something with it now. And what I would also like to say is to Stephen and Simon and Jack and Hugh, I mean, what are you going to miss about Trump? That's all I got.
Doug, thanks a lot. I'm sure they're all going to call during Mark's show. Mark has a lot to say about the election. He's going to be on in just about 25 minutes, too. So stick around for that. I'm sure they will all call Mark and come clean on what they think. And also, if they owe Mark money, I'm sure they'll pay up. Lee in Gulfport writes, I think we need a White House to prison pipeline. That's Lee's opinion out there. Not so far-fetched. If you look at the New Yorker article, and we played the audio from it last Thursday, the New Yorker article by Jane Mayer suggests that President Trump, when he leaves office and leaves the protection of being sitting president, will face a mountain of legal problems. And look up that article if you didn't hear it on the radio. Ron in West Tampa says, if Trump had won, I don't think there would be any complaints about missing or stolen ballots or voter fraud. Trump supporters would be celebrating and reminding us Democrats to get in line and deal with it. So I'll just say elections matter, writes Ron in West Tampa. James writes, Biden has proof that the GOP will not support his policies, so do just like Trump and steamroll them and don't look back, writes James. And then Tommy writes this. He says, Trump and his supporters are just showing how scared they are of the reality that America is no longer a majority white nation, and that terrifies them, writes Tommy. Tommy, thanks for your thoughts. Let's go back to the telephones for a little bit. And we're going to go to John in Tampa. John, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hello?
John, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Okay. I think the election was stolen in Pennsylvania. What I'm scared of now is what's going to happen in Georgia with the two congressmen down there. I think the race is already fixed in. And if they can fix it in Pennsylvania, they can fix it there.
And, John, what evidence do you have that the election was stolen in Pennsylvania?
This is how I look at it. He had 700,000-point lead, a vote lead, about 9:30. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's 100,000.
And, John, can I ask you, have you heard of mail-in voting? Do you know the story about mail-in voting in Pennsylvania?
100,000 votes found.
Well, John, let's just stick one. Have you heard what happened to mail-in voting in Pennsylvania? And that is that Pennsylvania didn't count the mail-in votes until beginning at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And President Trump urged his supporters not to vote by mail. Do you think that might have had something to do with it?
Yes, that's how he won.
That's how Biden won, yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is how Biden won. Thank John, thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Nathan in Bartow. Hi, Nathan. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I will say Trump has very few good qualities, but he is genuinely a marketing genius. He is not a business genius, but he's a marketing genius. And he's been marketing this disinformation that mail-in votes are fraudulent and that they can't be trusted, while simultaneously dismantling and disenfranchising the post office to work in that favor. So he's been working on this for months, and it's working. Even though he lost, there's still some contention. And so many people are willing to agree with this, not only because of social media and so on, but we were just in lockdown earlier this year, and in lockdown you don't have to hear dissenting opinions or interact with people who disagree with you. So you're in an echo chamber of your own beliefs and your own conspiracies and your own points of view without anything challenging it ever. So it just solidifies that point of view in your mind so much that nothing could ever dissuade it. So it's a very challenging time, and I just hope that the courts strike down these lawsuits, these frivolous lawsuits, and we're able to move on and that there's no violence.
Yeah, let's hope so. Nathan, I agree with everything you said. I would just add one thing. I mean, in addition to marketing, I do think that President Trump is a great communicator.
And that's another thing of marketing. He's marketed himself as an everyman, as a self-made man, and I think that's why a lot of his supporters who are working class, that's why they identify with him in a way, because he's presented himself as a self-made working man, which he's not. And it's ironic, actually, that he's painted Biden as elitist when Biden isn't. He went to, you know, state universities and commuted for 40 years. And he's literally a
That's right. And Trump went to prep schools and the best schools that his family could afford. Yeah.
Yeah, he went to the Citadel. Yeah.
He didn't go to the Citadel. He went to another military school. I forgot the name of it right now, but the Citadel, I think, is in South Carolina. Anyway, I know our listeners will remember it. But Nathan, good points.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Great program.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. 813-239-9663. Barbara Fling is our phone producer today. Let's go to Rob and Brandon. Rob, what do you think about what's going on out there in election land?
Actually, it's Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. It says Rob and Brandon, so...
It's okay. Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
Are you in Brandon?
Caller, you know, it. Unfortunately, they don't really understand the election. You had 2.5 million mail-in votes in Pennsylvania. That's one. And two, the Republican-led legislature in Pennsylvania refused to change or alter when they could count those ballots. That's it. It's the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania that caused this crap. End of story. That's where the blame belongs. Now, this is a bipolar election. There's two elections here. The first part basically is done. The second part, in many ways, is even more important. I've spoken to you a few times over the years, and I keep emphasizing the Senate. If Biden has any possibility to get anything done, those two seats have to go Democratic. I expect him, Harris, Obama, Michelle Obama, and so forth, to heavily campaign. And you're right. That's going to be one of the most expensive elections of all time. I wouldn't be surprised that in Georgia alone, anywhere from $500 million is spent on both sides, total. Because that is the battle.
It's all true.
Well, the only thing is this. Mitch McConnell is not, I don't care what type of relationship he had with Biden in the past, has absolutely no intention to work with a Democratic president. We got to understand that. And most of what the president-elect Biden has proposed is based upon the premise that the taxes will be raised on the wealthier. Unfortunately, he has members of his own party, namely the Virginia senator, was it a Merchant? I always mispronounce his name. Oh, I apologize. You know what his name is, correct?
Virginia. West Virginia.
Joe Manchin is the wild card. Because Manchin can either, he can be a kingmaker. He knows it because he lives in a state that is ruby red. Somehow, some way, he's able to keep his seat. Now, granted, he's safe because he ran for election 2 years ago, so he's fine. But the question is whether or not he will go along with the program. But that's the battle. The battle is January 5th, 2001, will decide the direction of this company. The direction of this country.
Yeah, I think that's true. Good points. And remember, too, it was Mitch McConnell and other Republican senators who, when Barack Obama was first inaugurated, promised to block him at every turn and succeeded in many cases.
Here's the thing. We're going to find out whether Biden learned from the lesson, because I am sure. I don't know what their drinks of poison are, whether it's whiskey or beer. President Obama, who is a high-intellect, well-reasoned individual, falsely believed that somehow, some way, he could persuade the opposition party to work with him, that, hey, it's clear, this is what you need to do. Biden needs to learn from that. Obama had a supermajority, and he wasted it. He absolutely wasted the power that he had. Biden's going to have possibly a bare majority, but he's got to run with it. He has to, because at the end of the day, he'll be rewarded. The Democrats will be rewarded if they can show an accomplishment. That's what the American people want. They want economic accomplishment. And if him and his party can accomplish that, they'll do fine in 2022 and then take a solid majority in the Senate.
All right, Rob, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Good to hear from you. We could go really deep into Obama and that supermajority and what he accomplished or didn't accomplish, but we're going to try to keep it on Biden and Trump today, but that's an important topic. TV writes, Florida is tipped red because the old people keep moving into Florida to the prefab village complexes where all there is for transplants are low taxes, white shoes, and Fox News. As they die off, ever more move in to replace them. I don't know how to change that trend, but to educate, old ain't smart or wise, writes TV. And then James writes, a distinction that many people don't seem to realize, health insurance is not health care. James, thank you for that. That's true. Health insurance, though, many times means access to health care. And then Mike in St. Pete says, I liked what Izzy said and was on to how this Trump cult needs to be able to stand outside their egos and see things objectively. Let me read, try to find an email from a new person here. David writes, I think that John Oliver was encouraging folks to make silly calls to the voter fraud hotline. David, thank you for that. Yeah, there were many funny calls to that hotline. Let's go to Aaron in Bradenton. Aaron, thanks for calling WMNF. What's on your mind today? Hi, Aaron.
Hey,
did I lose you?
Are you there?
Yep, waiting for you.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the mail-in ballot. I'm just curious, does anyone else find the fact that this is an archaic way of voting? I mean, we've been doing mail-in ballots since the Civil War days. I mean, what else can we say, you know, that's the way we do things still?
Aaron, what would be a better way? What would be a better way that would encourage more people to take part in the process?
Well, I mean, again, I know with the pandemic, person voting didn't seem to be the safest alternative, but I mean, it's kind of hard to fake an ID and fake somebody doing it in person. I mean, regardless of...
Aaron, do you work for a living by any chance? Do you work for a living?
Yeah.
And what does your boss say about taking time off on Tuesday?
Well, I own my own company, but...
What do you say to your employees if they say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you let them go?
Yeah, don't vote.
Okay, I can tell you that not every employer does it. There are giant employers out there that want their workers there from 8 a.m. to 5 or whatever. So for many workers, it's hard to get off on Tuesday, but go ahead.
Well, then let's extend the hours. I mean, they're open earlier than 8, and they're open till 7 in most areas.
All right, so you're arguing for all voting in person. Aaron, thanks a lot. Thanks for making that argument. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Jared in St. Petersburg. Hi, Jared. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for squeezing me in here. I appreciate that. To your previous caller's point, maybe we should just give November 3rd as a national holiday. Just a thought there. I want to fully disclose, I voted for Trump this year and 4 years ago. It took me to watch this country be torn apart. You can say it's torn apart by Trump. You can say it's torn apart by the media. I think it's a combination of both. I think that people are inherently good in their heart and in their soul. But I think there's so much influence in our brains these days that we really become very extreme now.
Jared, let me ask you this. If Hillary Clinton, after winning by 3 million popular votes but losing the Electoral College, gave a gracious announcement the following day after the election in 2016 that she congratulated Trump as the winner, what... Mm-hmm. Joe Biden won the popular vote by 4.5 million and won potentially more electoral college votes, although it could be the same. But what responsibility does President Trump have to Joe Biden? Now we're 7 days after the election.
Well, I think he has the responsibility to give that concession speech and to give that call to Joe Biden. If I remember correctly, Hillary didn't do that for Trump either, if I'm correct.
She didn't give a concession speech?
No.
All right, should I play it for you? Do you want me to play it for you?
Okay, she didn't come out that night and give that speech, right?
You want me to play it for you?
I don't. And she also is the one who basically said if the votes come back in and President Trump is shown to win this election, don't concede under any circumstance, right? So the tables were flipped, I believe that the Democrat Party and Joe Biden would be doing pretty much the same thing as what Trump is doing right now. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not making the case for Trump to be filing all these lawsuits. I believe he lost the election. Do I believe that there's voter fraud in this country? Yes, I do. Do I think it's to the extent that it could actually change what is happening in this election? No, I don't. I think it's kind of a waste of time, but, you know, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, Jared. Jared, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in and giving us. I don't have time to play Hillary's concession speech because we're down to the last 2 minutes. Bob writes this, it's difficult to imagine how states other than Pennsylvania have standing to claim voter fraud, especially when no Pennsylvania official sees a problem, writes Robert. Martin in Palm Harbor writes, President Trump ran a campaign with no platform. I have my opinion about what Republican Party stands for, and it's not pretty. Let's hear from a Republican or two about the Republican Party platform this year, writes Martin. And then Fernando writes, suggestion to the Antifa movement, consider changing your name to Anti-Bar, writes Fernando. All right. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Nancy in St. Pete. Nancy, what would you like to say?
Hi. Okay. Let's consider this. If the election is a fraud and the Democrats stole the election, then that would mean that if Trump would be president, then all those people who were reelected, including Mitch McConnell, to the Senate, they lost.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, if the Republicans picked up five U.S. House seats and they held their own in the U.S. Senate, Democrats forgot to steal the congressional seats. How could you forget to do that if you've got this plan to steal the election?
Know.
Yeah, Nancy, thanks a lot. Thank you. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And stay tuned for your hero, Mark Bureau. He's got some interesting things to say about the election. And he's got some scores to settle, too. So he'll be doing that in the next hour. Thanks to Barbara Fling, our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa.